Good morning. I am Commissioner Dick Marzano, Port of Tacoma President, calling to order the regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on May 7th, 2026. The time now is 10 a.m. Also present are Commissioners Kristen Ang, Deanna Keller, John McCarthy. J.T. Wilcox is on his way. We do have a quorum. Our meeting is being held at the Fabulous Center and streamed live on the meeting page of the Port of Tacoma's website at www.portoftacoma.com. The commission will now meet in executive session until 12 p.m. to discuss one minimum price of a real estate lease item under RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1, parentheses C, and three potential litigation items under RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1, and parentheses I.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director of Port of Tacoma. The factors that are allowed to be discussed during executive session that relate to real estate leasing are as follows: the size and zoning of the property, the distance from and connectivity to deepwater marine terminals, the potential for job creation, and consistency with the port's strategic plan. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for attending. My name is Dick Marzano. I'm the current president of the Tacoma Port Commission. Time now is at 12 o'clock, and we will begin our regular meeting. We are in executive session from 10 o'clock to 10 a.m. to 11:10, where we discussed one minimum price of a real estate item under RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1, parentheses C, and three potential litigation items under RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1, parentheses I. I'd like to begin with a Pledge of Allegiance, so if we could all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We acknowledge that we are on the traditional homelands of the Puyallup tribe. The Puyallup people have lived on and stewarded these lands and continue to do so today. We consider the tribe to be our partner in many of the efforts we undertake. The Port of Tacoma also recognizes May 2026 as Asian Pacific American Heritage Month and calls upon the people of Pierce County to recognize the achievements and many contributions of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders to our community, our nation, and our entire world. So with that, the approval of the agenda, the first item is to approve today's agenda. Is there anybody who would like to make a change? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Next, we have the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director, Port of Tacoma. Just three brief things today in my report. First of all, I want to announce that the Maritime 253 project with the school district is hosting what they're calling a student and family sneak peek, which is an opportunity for anyone in the community who's interested possibly in having a student there can come down and tour the facility. That's going to be May 28th from 4 to 6 p.m. May 28th, 4 to 6 p.m. I'd encourage anybody who's interested in going down there. The facility will be largely completed at that point. So you'll be able to see the fully functional 253 center. Secondly, I want to thank the Building and Grounds Maintenance Department for cleaning up trash and graffiti out at the Dick Gilmer boat ramp. We had some problems out there with trash and so on and safety barriers. And the Building and Grounds crew turned to and fixed that up. It looks a lot better out there, and I know the community appreciates that. And then my final note is that we are continuing our ever-popular Ports and Popcorn series, which sells out every month when we have it. It's at the Grand Theater. Tonight's at 6:30, and it's going to be two speakers from ILWU Local 23 talking about the work that they do on the docks. And so it's sold out, as I said, it always does, but I'm going to continue to promote that event. And that's it for my report.
Okay, thank you, Eric. We will now go into public comment, and we will invite the public comment. As a reminder, comment time is limited to 3 minutes per person pursuant to RCW 42.56. Recorded public comments and public meeting sign-in sheets, including names and any contact information provided, are subject to the public disclosure. We will proceed in the order of the sign-up sheet. If you haven't signed up, don't worry. It's not that you can't speak. I'll let you know that after we get to all the people. So with that, I'd like to start with a queen that is in our audience.
All right. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having us out today. On behalf of the 2026 Daffodil Court, I want to say thank you for the partnership that you guys have with the Daffodil Festival. The Daffodil Festival is a truly amazing organization. It allows young women from across Pierce County to gain experience with the community, build community relations, and obtain community service hours that are valuable for college applications and other scholarship applications. The girls on this court have had such a wonderful time being a part of the Daffodil Festival, and one of our events was getting to come out here and have a tour of the Port of Tacoma, which we all greatly enjoyed. I know I have gotten to come out here a couple more times since then for the Tacoma Propeller Club Scholarship for the tour and then for this event today, and getting to see what the port does for Tacoma and for the state has truly been such a wonderful experience. And I would like to offer you all a daffodil pin and to say thank you for your partnership with the Daffodil Festival and for continuing to promote excellence within the young women of Pierce County.
Thank you.
As a quick note, Mr. President, it's my understanding that she's from Eatonville High School, and this is the first time Eatonville has ever had a Daffodil Queen.
And I am now realizing I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Queen Annika, and I am proudly representing Eatonville High School as Eatonville High School's first ever Daffodil Queen.
All right. Okay, next on the sign-up, I have Anitra.
My name is Anitra Sutters, and I am involved, I'm the president, and have chosen the theme, Bloom Where You Are Planted, because I felt it worked with all generations and any time of year. And I also want to show our appreciation for your support of the festival. We very much enjoy your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob, I have you next.
And I promise not to use her 3 minutes. But thank you so very much for the support that you have shown the Daffodil Festival. As a result, we're always going to guarantee that you have a convertible for the parade and a prominent place in the parade. We have 93 years and counting. The Daffodil Festival started in really the 20s, as Bulb Sunday, started in its present organization in 1934. And back then, it was simply a way to promote the burgeoning daffodil industry. Nowadays, we have evolved to the point where really it's a celebration of community, a celebration of all of the communities of Pierce County. And of course, the highlight is a parade, which is truly unique. 4 cities in one day, Tacoma, Puyallup, Sumner, and Orting. And quite frankly, when you consider that we're really the second most iconic organization in Pierce County other than the Washington State Fair, it's a tribute to the volunteers that we've had, to the young folks that come along that had been in our court in the past. As a matter of fact, with Melanie Stambaugh-Babst and with Katie Skeleton, Katie was a Daffodil Princess from Eatonville, and Melanie was our queen. Oh my goodness, what high school was it, Melanie? There you go. You just can't get them to talk about much when that was. But the point is that we couldn't exist without the support from organizations like yours. We've been in dire financial straits a couple of times, and we're coming post-COVID, we're coming back out of that. And it is a celebration that that we get to entertain thousands of people every year. And once again, thanking Katie in particular for getting this ball rolling. We just want to thank you so much for your support. It means a lot to us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for all the work that you guys do too. It's really quite, and it was a beautiful day too during the parade, which was even great. Thanks.
We took care of that.
Yeah, there you go. I'd also like to thank the port maintenance workers that were able to show you around a little bit and kind of give you an idea of what goes on behind the scenes. A lot of work. Any other comments from any of the commissioners with regards to that? I know we had two. Well, thank you once again.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. All the kids loved it. Yeah. Like, kids loved the parade.
Yeah. Next person on there is Jared Baker. Thanks again.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Jared Faker, president of ILW Local 23. And on behalf of the nearly 2,000 hardworking men and women represented by ILW Local 23, I stand before you today regarding the pending tenant improvement request submitted by Port Tenant Husky Terminals. If approved by the port, this tenant improvement request would allow Husky to install OCR equipment on port-owned gantry cranes. Husky then intends to use that equipment to automate ILW clerical jobs, which will result in the immediate loss of approximately 15 full-time equivalent longshore clerk positions. And once lost, these jobs will forevermore be unavailable to members of our community. Last September, Husky was awarded the Port's North Star Award as Terminal Operator of the Year for efficiency and thanked their labor partners in Local 23 for their achievements. But now they tell you that they need to automate these same jobs away so they can, quote, become more productive and competitive, end quote. Local 23 takes great pride in the reputation and productivity of our port. In fact, in just the last year, we've met with Husky multiple times with suggestions for their yard and vessel planning, stow plans, traffic patterns, morning safety speeches, equipment availability, all suggestions that would result in greater productivity. Unfortunately, all of our suggestions have fallen on management's deaf ears. Now, the ILW is not against technology or against OCR technology. In fact, this technology could easily be used in conjunction with longshore clerks, acting as an aid to our job functions, potentially even resulting in a more productive workplace. But Husky has stated they do not intend to use it as an aid to their workforce. They intend to use it to replace their workforce. Eliminating jobs from this community to increase their profit is what Husky means when they say remaining competitive. Those profits will then be shipped right out of this community and back to their overseas ownership group. That is where this community's money will go. And Husky needs your approval to do so. As commissioners, you represent the taxpayers of Pierce County, and good-paying family wage jobs are what the community receives in return. And as their representatives, we ask that you join with us and the over 4,300 people who have signed onto our online petition and simply tell your tenant no. Thank you.
Thank you, Jared. No, go ahead.
I should ask if I can approach.
Of course, you can.
Would you like the packet of 4,300 signatures?
Why don't you give it to the clerk, if you
okay.
would, Jared.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Matt Toma.
Hello, my name is Matt Toma. I'm a second generation longshoreman and a Pierce County resident. I was excited when the new cranes came into Pier 3 and Pier 4. I still have photos on my phone from that day they got here. I was fine with my tax dollars going towards them because they were going to bring in bigger ships, and with the extra berth expansion, those cranes were going to bring more work and more jobs. What I didn't realize in that excitement is that one day Husky Terminal would be using them to eliminate my job. I am primarily do clerk jobs at Husky. I watch the IT department scramble on a regular basis trying to figure out how to take longshore labor out of what they consider their terminal. I've had to stand by multiple times while they test their AutoGate software. Calling that data capture is absurd. It's automation. It's exactly what my dad warned me about when he told me to watch out for the day they came for our jobs. This is step one. When I vote for Port Commissioner, I do my due diligence. I put a dot next to the names I think will protect my job and help Pierce County stay ethical and keep flourishing. I also have a lot of friends and family who reach out and ask me who I think would be the best candidate. I'm proud to tell them because I'm right in the middle of it and I know what I'm looking at. I can't point to a single time I felt down by my vote for the position. If the commissioners side with overseas money over union labor, I won't be able to say that anymore. I'll have gotten it wrong, not just for myself, but for everyone I gave your names to. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Holly Hulcher.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Holly Hulcher, and I am ILWU Local 23 Marine Clerk. I do planning work at the Husky Terminal at the Port of Tacoma. Our Local 23 members live in this amazing community, and we are able to support our families and support our local community through our jobs at the Port of Tacoma. On April 11th, our members participated in the South Sound Multiple Sclerosis Walk, and we were able to raise over $15,800 to help the cause. Over the last 23 years, we were able to raise over $224,219 to help fight MS. We also organize our Local 23 Toy Drive to help children in need have a brighter holiday season. Last year, we raised over $63,900 worth of toys and bikes, and we distributed to 1,040 children through 17 local organizations who work directly with children in need. Local 23 members also donate $200 in gift cards to two children in each elementary school throughout Pierce County, and that totals $60,000 each year. Because of our efforts in our local community, Local 23 has been a recipient of the City of Destiny Award more than once, which recognizes the outstanding contributions of volunteers improving life in Tacoma. Please help us preserve the Marine Clerk jobs at the Husky Terminal at the Port of Tacoma so we can continue to thrive. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is Gas.
DAXCO, International Executive Board member and chair of the Programs and Policy Committee. I want to talk to you about a couple of different things. One of the first things I want to mention is Senate Bill 5995, which, paraphrasing, says no public money should be spent on automating cargo handling equipment. So the Executive Board last summer passed a statement of policy that talked about automation and talked about artificial intelligence. And it warned about some of the dangers and some of the things that we need to take care of. The current OCR request that Husky has proposed offers, our cranes won't be secure. I'll just tell you. We're opening up another gateway to a place that we don't know exists. Currently, we only have one opening to the crane. Husky wants to purchase their own gate and have their own remote control and have full control of how they can access the computers inside that crane. That's, you guys should all be terrified of that. That's one thing that as you're going in through these discussions, we're not just losing jobs, we're losing control of equipment that the people of Pierce County own. We should all be extremely concerned about that. I had some more things I was going to, but I should have wrote them down. So thank you for your time, and please consider, call me if you need any follow-up information at any time. Thank you.
Thank you, Dex. Next, Megan Mason.
Good afternoon. My name is Megan Mason, and I am a fifth-generation longshore worker and proud member of ILW Local 23. I earned my place on the waterfront when my father passed prior to retirement age and have followed in his footsteps as a crane driver. I want to strongly discourage allowing Husky Terminal's use of OCRs. The job that they would eliminate is a gravely undervalued cog in a successful operation. A hook supervisor serves as much more than a number puncher. They are a critical point of communication between the foreman and the yard side of the operation. They educate and organize the truck drivers to keep the cargo flowing. They troubleshoot poor load plans that pose safety risks for the other workers in the gang. And they provide additional assistance to the crane driver to ensure a smooth and productive operation. As recently as Tuesday night, I was driving crane at WUT in a hatch that had twin 20s that needed to be split between a bomb cart and a chassis. And with an expert clerk at the hook, we had our truck drivers lined up in perfect order, per the clerk's direction, to make the more complicated discharge plan go seamlessly. I read in the Journal of Commerce that our employers think that by discouraging the use of this technology, we are contributing to the West Coast's loss of market share. But let's not ignore the real problems and solutions that can massively increase productivity while keeping some of the few living wage jobs available in Pierce County intact. Let's run night gates and alleviate congestion. Let's put more people to work in the community whose taxes are the ones funding this port in the first place, unlike the billionaires overseas whose pockets get fatter with every human put out of work. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Megan. This basically gets me to the end of the people who have signed up, but anybody else who wishes to have any comments or speak, just come on up to the mic right now. Okay, well, thank you all for showing up, and thank you for the speakers on that list. So the first item on our agenda is a consent agenda. Items on the consent agenda are considered routine and taken up. Excuse me, before I go any further, I want to make sure. I want to give everybody, we've listened to you, and it's not that we're going to react to you right now because it's something we don't do by practice. I want to make sure that we've all have received all of your texts, your information, and we do appreciate very much the information and the facts that were presented today with regard to that subject. It's not something we don't overlook. We aren't in the middle of discussions and stuff. It's just that during public comment, it is a practice of this local, of this, excuse me, I'm thinking of 23, of this commission, not to interchange with each person because we could be here forever. So I just want to let you know that we do and have listened. Thank you. Okay, going back, items on the consent agenda are considered routine and taken up by one motion and one vote unless any commissioner requests an item to be removed for individual consideration. Here's what the consent agenda consists of. Approval of the minutes of March 31st, 2026 and April 21st, 2026. Disbursement, I'll wait for you guys. So thank you all again for attending. Appreciate it. And then check disbursement certifications during the period of 4/10/26 to 4/22/26. Check numbers 5416 to 5428 and 5430 to 5531 in the amount of $9,983,886.70 and electronic payments in the amount of $700,686.05 for a total of $10,684,572.75. Check number 5429 in the amount of $747.83 to the state auditor's office. Work Development Strategy 2026 Update, and D, Delegation of Authority to Executive Director to Approve Settlement Agreements for 4818, 4824, and 4826 Marine View Drive Lease Determinations. We will be voting on the consent agenda items in two votes due to the check to the State Auditor's Office. So could I get a motion to approve the consent agenda items 5A, 5B1, 5C, and 5D as presented?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Eng, second by Commissioner Keller. Questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Then I'd like to call for a vote on consent item 55B-2 as presented. Is there a motion? This
so
is
moved.
With the state auditor.
So moved.
Okay. Commissioner Wilcox.
Second.
Made the motion, and Commissioner Keller seconded it.
Oh, there's already a second. Okay.
I kind of reversed that a little
That's
bit.
That's okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions, excuse me.
Oh, abstain.
Thank you. And opposed? Okay, all those in favor, we already did that. It passed. Okay. Okay, this is the commission action items. This is business section in the meeting where items are brought forth by commissioners or staff that require a commission vote. And I will turn it over to you, Eric, if you want to call the first one. That Neptune parcel 117.
Yeah, this relates to this. We got Mr. Ellie Belega, project engineer in our engineering department. And he's going to be talking about a piece of property out of parcel 117, which is between Taylor Way and Alexander Avenue.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I am Ellie Belega, and I am the project manager in this project. I am here to request project authorization for a remediation cap and snail eradication construction work in the amount of $2,570,000 for a total authorized amount of $3,210,000 for work associated with the Neptune Parcel 117 environmental cleanup and pre-development improvements. Project ID number 101690.01. The two main goals of this project are to, one, remediate the autoflav contamination on Port Parcel 117 and fill the on-site wetlands as a means to eradicate the invasive Mediterranean vineyard snails. In addition, the project is a predecessor project that will partially prepare the property for future development. Commissioners, in June last year, staff came before you and asked for design authorization for Parcel 117 cleanup and snail eradication. Parcel 117 is located on a peninsula between the Halibos and Blair waterways, and there are two main issues going on this site. The first one is the snails. In 2005, Mediterranean vineyard snails were discovered on the peninsula, and for the last 20 years, the port has been trying to eradicate those snails. And we've had success on the peninsula except for one location, Port Parcel 117. And the reason why it's been difficult to eradicate the snails from the property is because of the wetlands that are present on the property. The wetlands have acted as a refuge for the snails. The second issue on the property is autoflav contamination. Between 1960 and 1980, there was unauthorized dumping of autoflav on the property that now needs to be addressed. The map on the screen shows parcel 117, and that light green area shows the limits of the autoflav contamination on the property. The snail eradication work that staff is proposing is we need to remove all the vegetation on the property, regrade the site, fill the wetlands, and then place gravel on top of the site. When it comes to the autoflav contamination, staff is proposing to build a containment wall around the autoflav and then place an asphalt cap on top of that. Now, we're eliminating the wetlands on the property, and we need to mitigate for them. Last month, another project manager, Dev Myers, came before you and presented the Neptune mitigation project. And on that project, the port will be reestablishing and enhancing the existing wetlands at parcel 12 and port parcel 37D. And in addition to that, we will be applying some credits from Wapato Creek. And that's how we're going to mitigate for the wetlands that we're eliminating on port parcel 117. The design of this project is almost complete. The project will advertise next month. Substantial completion is anticipated in September, with final completion expected in October. We need to do this work during the summer months when it's really hot, when the snails are dormant, to minimize them being spread to other locations. The construction cost is estimated at $2.57 million, and the project cost is estimated at $3.21 million. In regards to alternatives, when it comes to the snail eradication, we've tried for 20 years, we've tried all sorts of things, and there's really no other alternatives except for to eliminate the vegetation from the site. And the Grand Commission and Department of Agriculture are in support of this project. When it comes to the outer fluff, we have two alternatives. Alternative one is to excavate and remove all the outer fluff and the contaminated soils from the site. But that outer fluff is as deep as 20 feet. So removing the material right now poses a risk of spreading the snails to other locations. Alternative two is to cap the outer fluff in place where it's at. Staff is proposing and recommending alternative two, capping the outer fluff in place. For the permits, all the applicable permits on the project will be obtained before the contract is awarded. The outer fluff on parcel 117 will be capped in the interim until the snails are eradicated from the site. Best management practices will need to be followed during snail eradication to prevent the transportation of the snails from the job site. The groundwater disturbance work will require that all stormwater runoff be managed per the applicable permits, and there's no air quality impact anticipated on the project. In conclusion, I request project authorization for remediation cap and snail eradication construction work in the amount of $2,570,000 for a total authorized amount of $3,210,000 for work associated with the Neptune Parcel 117 environmental cleanup and pre-development improvements, project ID number 101690.01. Any questions, commissioners?
Thank you. Do I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner McCarthy, second by Commissioner Ang. Questions or comments? Just a quick comment. I mean, we've been working on those snails for I don't know how long. I can recall what we used to have is when break bulk commodities came into the port, a Department of Agriculture inspector would come and look at the different pallets and stuff like that, and we'd have to segregate them if there was any known species with regards, so they could basically eliminate them at this time. One of the things, you look at this price and you think it might be kind of high, the devastation it could cause if snails get on these trucks that come in here and go east of the mountains and do something to the products that we have Washington State growers do could be devastating. So that's why I'm supporting this project. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
Tacoma School District ILA number 4. Eric, you want to introduce it?
This is part of the continuing partnership between us and the Tacoma School District for the Maritime 253 program. We've had three ILAs with the school district, and we need to do a fourth one, and Elisa's going to explain that.
All right. Good afternoon. For the record, Elise Praskovich, Chief External Strategy Officer, and we're here to talk about and get your approval for our next ILA with Tacoma School District. So today I'm going to request authorization for the Executive Director to enter into a fourth interlocal agreement, or ILA, between the Tacoma School District and the Port of Tacoma to provide guidelines and a governing framework for how the port may provide resources, support activities, instruction, and training to Maritime 253 staff and students. This is to enhance learning and support certification in maritime industry-related fields. Going to our latest five-year strategic plan, as you know, workforce development was the addition of a sixth foundational goal in workforce development. And as you'll see, This ILA in particular supports all three of these workforce development related goals. Some background, it's really coming up fast, but Tacoma Public Schools will take delivery of their building May 21st. They'll have four tracks, technical tracks, for students to pursue in the beginning here. Those include sustainability, technology, port operations and logistics, and advanced manufacturing. And just as a reminder for the public, we take ownership of our administrative building on December 15th, while full move-in is expected by the end of Q1 2027. Some additional background information. You know, the Port Maritime Center is a shared campus. Both buildings there sharing about a 20-acre plot of land. So with that, we believe come many synergies and opportunities to enhance learning and sharing of resources across both parties. In addition, the school district has amassed a tremendous list, and I'll share that in the next slide here, of industry partners from nonprofit to Jones Act operators, training institutions, et cetera. So what we're proposing today will help supplement those partnerships. And then really what we're getting to here is by the end of the year, the construction phase of this project is coming to a close. And so that gives the opportunity for the port and our staff to really focus on that workforce development as opposed to just focusing on project management and construction deadlines. So this ILA number four will provide a governing framework for how the port will provide and share resources between us and Maritime 253. Some of these resources which were listed in the ILA could be equipment demonstration, field visits, maybe helping them adjust some of the curriculum, coming over for guest speaking or lecturing. So there's a list of these different types of items that the port would be willing to provide and share with Maritime 253. And then as part of this commitment is that both parties will formally establish a liaison, right? So each side has a specific person to enter into different negotiations, and there's consistency on both sides. This is as of April, a nice drone shot from Joe on our communications team, and just, you know, since April, the amount of progress that's been done since then. So every time we share a photo, it's already outdated. These are those industry partnerships, formal partnerships that Maritime 253 has secured. It's a pretty impressive list. So the presumption here is not only will Maritime 253 staff be continuing with these partnerships to help enrich their training of students, but we would be effectively a formal part of this as real partners in the education and training piece. The financial impacts for this ILA, each party will provide its own cover for its own costs and own manner of financing. So unless there's something more specific, the sharing of these resources is assumed in kind. Job creation, looking back, Maritime 253 will employ up to 20 full-time staff. And on any given day at full enrollment, they would have 600 students there per day, 300 in the morning and 300 in the afternoon. As of today, we're hovering slightly above 260 students enrolled and soon to be 10 school district partnerships that have signed on to this. And at the end of this, students will receive industry-recognized credentials and certifications in hopes of securing employment as soon as they graduate. So following, approval, hopefully, today, our next steps would be continuing to support Maritime 253 enrollment by the campaign, which is advertised on Commissioner Ang's T-shirt right now. Yay. Thank you. This is Maritime. To really encourage student awareness and enrollment, we will formally designate our liaison as with the school, and then continue to support all efforts to make sure that school opens on time September 8th. So again, action requested is for authorizing the executive director to enter into this fourth ILA with Tacoma Public School District to provide a governing framework to share resources and supplement the training and education of Maritime 253 students.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to that effect?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Keller, second by Commissioner Ang. Questions or comments? Looking for Commissioner McCarthy.
I think it's absolutely proper that we have an interlocal agreement that sets the framework for this, but I want to make sure that whoever this, a person that's assigned to this position understands, or that there is an understanding that it's ultimately the commission's role to approve some major strategies that they may undertake, resources and things of that sort. Whoever's assigned to that, I just want to make sure there's an understanding that if there's substantial substantive issues that come up that involve framework for how the port may provide resources, support, and activities, that it should be coming back to the commission for discussion and approval.
Okay.
I mean, is that your understanding of how this is going to work? Or your understanding that somebody in isolation is going to make those decisions other than the commission?
My personal view here is that within the bounds of what's outlined in the framework, a couple of examples, just as Carol is doing right now with her team, audiovisual recording, interviewing, and creating this is Maritime campaign videos, in my opinion, that wouldn't need and hasn't obviously come to the commission for approval.
That would, pardon me?
Has not, and in my opinion, would not need to come to the commission for approval.
Right.
On the other hand, let's say as this advances and the school decides they need to really install a very expensive piece of equipment, a simulator or something to that effect, where they're looking for monies out well outside of the scope of this ILA, I would obviously agree and within the master policy come before commission for approval. I don't know if Sean or Leslie, who really and behind the scenes does a tremendous amount of this work already with different Clover Park, et cetera. So I would like to give them the chance to maybe provide some more tangible examples that you might be thinking about.
Yeah, a lot, I would agree with Elisa that the vast majority of what we anticipate is relatively small level coordination type sort of things. Obviously agree if there is some sort of a major ask, especially a major financial ask, we're obviously going to be coordinating with the commission on that. But it might be something as simple as requests for speakers in classrooms. And I think what we want to do is just make sure we are appropriately metering resources. We don't anticipate this happening, but what we don't want is maybe the school district pinging engineering one week and maintenance the next week and somebody else the next, and then basically staff is spending all of their time not doing their regular assigned duties but are instead running over to Maritime 253. And so the point would be to be able to have an individual just be able to kind of coordinate, meter things, make sure that we're being supportive, while at the same time we're not sort of diverting port resources away from our regular work. I think that's the main vision, but you are absolutely correct. If there was ever an ask for a, hey, we would like a large check for X, we're going to need to be having a conversation with y'all.
Can I ask Sean a question?
Go ahead.
Similar question, but on the other agenda item, the workforce development strategy, and I know you were the sponsor of that. It was on the consent agenda, and I voted for it. But the similar question is that the strategy for that gave the executive director the full authority to approve up to $350,000 worth of contracts. And my concern there, I accept your explanation as to this, but as to that workforce development, we've gone from a program where we had the Local Economic Development Investment Fund, which came for the commission for approval. And if I don't see, and in the past, we've approved, I believe the commission's approved contracts that we've entered into for workforce development. So I'd hate to get away from that to all of a sudden we're allowing the executive director to make all those decisions under $350,000. And I agree with the strategy, but how the strategy is carried out, I don't want to get away from the commission actually making the spending decisions, resource decisions on that. That's my comment.
And Mr. President, if I could just touch on this very quickly, realizing it's kind of getting a far field from this particular conversation here. As we shared with you during the retreat, we anticipate a couple items are going to likely be needing to come before the commission anyways because of the dollar amount. One is the existing interlocal agreement with the Tacoma School District supporting financially supporting their summer certification program.
all ILAs are going to come to you. Also, our existing contract that we have with Workforce Central expires at the end of this year. We're going to need to go out and do a new RFP for that. That is a multi-year contract, and given the amount that you have budgeted, that's going to exceed the dollar amount that you have authorized to the executive director. So we anticipate that's coming back to you anyways. So I think you were still achieving essentially the effectiveness of your goal in that regard, I would suggest. But happy to have more of a conversation offline on that.
Or maybe Eric can follow up on that. I agree with the strategy, but I don't want us to get far afield for major expense. And I consider $350,000 a lot of money for workforce development. So I would think that, you know, that can't be the threshold where we get involved. That's my thought on it.
Okay. Commissioner Eng?
Well, I'm also supportive of an ILA because anytime you share space with someone, there should be some agreements and coordinations. But this one I'm very happy about because of all the collaborative partners and support that you listed up there. That's just amazing. I don't mean to brag on behalf of the Port of Tacoma, but I must say that this project in building is, in recent memory, is like one of the most creative, innovative, collaborative projects that have unified.